I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to transform and to change. You see, when Jesus Christ commissioned his disciples to go into all the world, Jesus also promised that they would be clothed with power from on high. And I want to believe that whenever I preach or share or teach, that God gives the anointing and that God, you know, anoints us for the work that he has called us to do.
A Methodist leader in Singapore, Asia, is commissioned to win millions to Christ in that corner of the world. Dr. Isaac Lim will share his vision with us as we listen to Methodist Hour.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friends. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of Don Marsh and Whitney Doe, a marvelous interview with a great Christian leader from Singapore, and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next half hour, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. Join with us as God's people sing about the glory of God. How majestic is your name! Let's turn now to The Upper Room, a collection of devotional thoughts by Christians from all around the world. Here is our guest reader, Kathy Bowden Toole.
Thank you, Whit. The reading today is entitled Forgotten Gifts, written by Beverly Dillard from Georgia, who writes, "The gifts of the Spirit are meant to be used." Our scripture verse is from 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Beverly writes, "One of my relatives has a storage closet filled with gifts. Some are gifts that were given to her, and some are gifts she intended to give to others. All have ended up on the back shelf of the closet, unused and forgotten. If used, they could serve their intended purpose. Sitting abandoned on the shelf, they are useless. How many of us have unused gifts that are given to us by God? The Bible tells us that the Spirit gives each of us gifts to use for God's glory. However, we often put them on a back shelf and forget about them. Perhaps God has given the gift of teaching, but we are too afraid of failure to lead a Bible study. Maybe we have received the gift of serving, but charity work requires too much time. In the parable of talents in Matthew 25, Jesus tells us to use what we have been given. Are we willing to take a look in the closet, dust off the gifts, and begin using them for their intended purpose, which is God's glory? Let us pray. Giver of all good gifts, stir up in us the courage and commitment to use the gifts you have given us that we may glorify you. in Jesus' name, amen. The gifts of the Spirit are meant to be used.
And now, it's Share Your Faith time. Here is Methodist Hour President, John Wolfe.
I can't tell you what a great joy it is for me to welcome Dr. Isaac Lim, and you'll hear in a moment from his wife, Dr. Shirley Lim. Isaac, you're from Singapore. You in Singapore are what we would have called a bishop here in America. You were the president of the churches, the Trinity Conference in Singapore.
The annual conference is supervised and led by the president of the annual conference. When I was president, took charge of 18 churches, and we had about 20,000 members.
My goodness, that's tremendous.
And it was a thrilling experience to see God work in all these churches.
Now, Christianity is not the dominant religion in Singapore, is that correct?
That's correct. Singapore has many religions, as it were. Christianity is about 15%.
Well, that's pretty strong for that. But you have how many million people in Singapore?
We have 4 million people in Singapore.
In an island that's 25 miles long and 15 miles wide, is that...
Right. We always tell our friends that if you drive your car from any part of Singapore and if you go on a straight line, very soon you will hit the sea.
I see. My goodness. Well, you all have, I know you have two children. You have a daughter who's a lawyer with the government. You have a son who's finishing at Cambridge. And I mean, going back to maybe do a PhD at Cambridge in matters of faith.
That's right.
And now you have a new task that's going to enable you to give leadership to so many people. And you're taking on all of Asia. How exciting could that be? Now, can you give me an idea of what's going to begin to happen as you do these leadership conferences?
Yeah, I will be the president of ILI, the International Leadership Institute East Asia. Now, if you know East Asia, it is a large area with 2 billion people. And you will note, for example, China alone is 1.2 million. You have Indonesia that is 211 million. Or Malaysia, 23 million, or Vietnam, 78 million, and Thailand, you know, about 60 million. In other words, that whole region, are basically a non-Christian setting. And our prayer is that we would be able to do our part in sharing the message of the gospel.
And you're going to do that by training leaders, indigenous leaders, to share the gospel and to build churches. And
that's correct. We look forward to the sharing of new leadership development and training with leaders in all these countries. We believe leadership is of the essence. If we train our leaders well, they would be able to lead their people well and share the gospel with their own nationals, as it were.
Now, you are a passionate preacher. I've heard you preach. And I would imagine that when you do a revival, it's pretty exciting time. You're pretty calm right now, but I know the power that you have. What is your passion in the way you share the gospel?
I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to transform and to change. You see, when Jesus Christ commissioned his disciples to go into all the world, Jesus also promised that they would be clothed with power from on high. And I want to believe that whenever I preach or share or teach, that God gives the anointing and that God, anoints us for the work that he has called us to do. And that is why I get very excited when I preach.
Well, it comes through and people respond to that. I mean, it's so beautiful to see it happen. And I know you believe that we need to train ourselves with all the information we can, equip ourselves as best we can, and then God gives the increase through power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that's the means to communicate so effectively.
Yeah.
And your wife is one who can teach us about communication, too, isn't she?
Yes, she's excellent. And, I'm sure she has a lot that she can share about communication.
Well, we're going to have her on probably next week, but... and I will ask her some of those questions. But now, it must be a scary time, though. I mean, you had the opportunity. You've finished three terms as the president of the conference. Then you could go back to a church or take some other options.
Yes.
But you chose to really go out in a very scary way. I mean, you've got the title and the ideas and the tools, but you're going to have to just about do everything else yourself, aren't you?
That's right. I've always, believe that our God is a great God. And if we want to see the glory of God, we must be able to venture in faith. You know, it is easier to be in what most of us would want to be in our comfort zone.
Yes.
I could have gone back to the parish and that would be much easier for me. But I felt that as I've taught my people to trust in God, I think it is time now for me to, practice what I preach.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Dr. Isaac Lim, I know we're going to hear from you again. Thank you so much for being with us on Methodist Hour.
It's our pleasure.
You'll ask me why my heart is singing, why I can sing when things go wrong, for since I found the source of music, I just can't help it. God gave the song. Come walk with me through field and forest, we'll climb the hills and still hear that song, for even hills resound with music, they just can't help it, God gave the song. Come on and join, it's the song of Jesus, from day to day, that song goes on, for since I found the source of music, I just can't help it. God gave the song.
That was my version of God Gave the Song, Voice and Trombone. Today's message is entitled, You Have It. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you so much, Whit. The gospel lesson is Matthew chapter 26, verses 14 to 30. Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, What will you give me if I betray him to you? They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. On the first day of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, Where do you want us to make the preparation to eat the Passover? Jesus said, Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, The teacher says, My time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. And they came to him greatly distressed and began to say to him one after the other, Surely not I, Lord. Jesus answered, The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born. Judas, who betrayed him, said, Surely not I, Rabbi. Jesus replied, You have said so. While they were eating, Jesus took the loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, and he said, Take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Amen. I remember them so well. They always tried to sit at the same table. They were quiet people. He was friendly, but not a public speaker. Basil and Lida Rose always came to the Wednesday night suppers there at our church. Basil then was in his late 70s when we met. Somehow our paths usually crossed on those Wednesday nights. When I saw them in the room, I made it a point to go over to his table for a few minutes, and we always had a good visit, and sometimes, though, we'd stand against the wall while the evening program was going on and just sort of talk. He was a master carpenter and a furniture maker, and I wanted to learn from him. But I guess, except for those family night suppers, I rarely really saw Basil and his wife. Several years ago, Basil's daughter called me to tell me that her daddy had died, and she said, I know, Daddy, would you want you to do his funeral because he loved you. Basil was then in his 90s, and it had been at least 7 or 8 years since I'd even seen him. He was such a dear man and had such an incredible passion for his craft. He often told me about his workshop, and he said, Please come by and see it. You know, somehow I was always too busy. But what I didn't know was that Basil's workshop would rival any master carpenter shop in town. And after his death, I did go by, and what an incredible shop. At his funeral, the soloist was singing Amazing Grace. My mind began to recall those family night suppers. You know, we spent a lot of time and money making sure there was always a good program after dinners. You know, it was kind of a silly thing to do. I realize now the most important thing that happened on those nights was the fellowship around those tables. Often just about the time the fellowship got going so good, we stopped everyone and made sure they looked up in front to watch some kind of program that was good, but often no one was really interested. Basil and I had become good friends, just sharing a meal together and standing against the wall talking about his craft. Good friends, I must confess that I hadn't realized that those times had meant enough to him that he would honor me by asking me to share in his funeral. Well, our lesson is about a meal. Matthew said it was the Passover meal. You must remember that it was a meal that commemorated the time when God delivered the Hebrew people from bondage under the Pharaoh in Egypt. The meal had to be held in a special place, and the meat had to be lamb. Now remember, only the priest could make the sacrificial and ceremonial killing of the lambs. Matthew teaches us that Judas went to the priest to make a deal to hand over Jesus to them. He asked the priest, What will you give me for him? He meant, How much money will you give me, of course? They said, 30 pieces of silver. Why 30 pieces of silver, and not 10 or 20 or 100? You know, when I researched to find out why 30 pieces, I must tell you, my heart hurt when I found out the answer. You see, 30 pieces was what was chosen to be the cost to buy a slave who was injured, or to buy a lamb who was injured. It comes from the prophet Zechariah, chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. Now, there are other references to 30 pieces of silver in the Old Testament. The one common meaning to them is that they all meant that they are a paltry sum for whatever reason. This was already an insult to Jesus. Judas did everything in secret. Then I asked the question, how did Jesus know that it was Judas who was going to betray him? You know, in a very subtle way, Matthew leaves us the best clue. Remember Jesus said, The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. You see, at this Passover meal, there were very specific orders about how things would be done and who should be present and where they would sit. The master or the leader always went first. As Jesus put his hand into the herbs and spices, Judas ignored Jesus and put his hand in at the same time. You see, not only was this disrespectful, but it also showed that Judas did not respect the authority of Jesus nor who he was. I think it must have been an extraordinarily painful experience for Jesus, not just because Judas was going to betray him. That's cause enough. No, I think it was because with this was the last few hours of his life, that and he ate a meal with his closest friends. And you see, Jesus yearned for that fellowship. He yearns for a relationship with you and me. When he said someone was going to betray him, they all said, "Well, is it I?" Now, there's really a better translation of that. It means more like, "Well, surely you don't think I would do something like that." And you know, Judas said it the loudest. Now, Matthew really does not tell us what happened next, except that Jesus took the loaf of bread and he prayed over it. He lifted it up and he gave thanks. And when he gave it to his disciples, including Jesus, he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Now, Jesus spoke these words in Aramaic. And here's a very important point. In Aramaic, there really is no word for body. That is a physical human body, like there is, you know, in English or Hebrew or Greek. No, the word means more like, "This is my whole self." Not just my physical body, it's my emotions, my joys, my hopes, my dreams, my fears. I'm offering all of me to you. Now, I want you to think about some things. Recall how often Jesus used the setting of a meal to teach us about things and about offering himself. Remember how angry the priests and the Pharisees got with him because he ate with sinners? You know what? They were not angry because he spoke with them or debated with them. It was because he had a meal with them. You remember he ate with Zacchaeus, the tax collector. It changed Zacchaeus' life. And without any notice from Jesus, Zacchaeus returned all that he had taken extra from anyone. He did not just return the original amount, but some got 2 to 4 to 10 times the amount that he had taken. He fed 5,000 people on one occasion. Now, these were not all poor and hungry people. I think, in a way, even then he was offering himself. It was a kind of Last Supper. Can you imagine Jesus set out to bring the world closer to God? He brought salvation to an unsaved world, and as far as we know, he never built a church. He had nothing published, and he had no enforcement agency. And everywhere he went, he fought century-old traditions, he fought cultural segregation, and he was always on foot. Jesus taught the meaning of the Scriptures, but friends, more importantly, he lived what the Scriptures meant. It was the way he lived his life that took him to the cross. He offered himself as evidence of God's redeeming love. You know, we really do not know why Judas betrayed Jesus. There's a lot of scholarly debate, but the truth is, we just don't know. At best, we can say that Judas tried to change Jesus. He headed backwards. Jesus was offering change to him, and Judas couldn't handle it. I remember at Basil's funeral, some person stood and spoke a word about this little man who had virtually no assets, no possessions, other than his workshop, where he, for years, was making and fixing things for people for free. They said he influenced their lives because of his kindness, because of his smile, because of his honesty and integrity, and his generosity. They said it was the way he lived his faith that caused them to consider the way they lived their lives. You know, I thought, how is it possible for a man who lived 20 centuries after the resurrection to let Christ change his life? When a man like Judas, who was there, it couldn't even see it. I remember reading a line from M. Scott Peck's book, The Road Less Traveled. Dr. Peck said, "Every single person has the power to change the course of human history." Every single person has the power to change the course of human history. Judas tried to change it for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus gave his life. Good friends, I want to remind you that you can change history where you are right now for good. Just begin by offering your life to Christ. Amen.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart.
Thank you, John Wolfe, for that message. John, give us your further word.
Whit, thank you so much. You know, Whit, it's amazing. It's just amazing when I think of the young people that we've interviewed and people in the strangest places who have given their lives to Christ, and because of their witness, others are attracted to our Lord himself. I mean, it's so amazing to see what happens when a life is lived in the light of Christ, the impact it can have. People seek you out and want to talk with you just to find out about it. What power, what amazing power there is as people have offered their lives to Christ. They transform the world, don't they, Whit?
They do indeed, John. There is a spiritual hunger in the world today. People long to find God and meaning and joy for their lives. The person who has found Christ and reflects Christ in his or her own life becomes a magnet. Others see that your life is different. They want to know what you have found. Isn't it wonderful that when you find Jesus, you find God? And the purpose of genuine Christians in this world today is to help others meet Jesus. Dear listener, give yourself to Christ and then help others to know him. If you are not winning others to Christ, Christ has not really won you. The Christian is not in the business of winning arguments, but of winning people. If we do not evangelize, we will evaporate. May God bless you as you tell others how wonderful Jesus is.
Whit, before we close, I'm going to share one more thing with our listeners. You know, I can picture in my mind Jesus coming through town riding on that donkey on that Palm Sunday. Little children placing palm branches along the way, and well, just can't you just hear their cheering and their singing? You know, in church, and I'm sure in most churches, the children come into the sanctuary singing and waving those palm branches, and it's just exciting stuff. And I wish today that we adults could get that excited about Jesus coming into town, especially coming into our hearts. You know, something like we do at a football game or a sports game when our team is winning and when we're rooting for them. But sometimes it's easier to get our anger up than it is to get our spiritual energy up. You see, Jesus came to change the world. He did his part, and the rest is left up to you and me. I hope if you have a moment, you'll check in with me and call or write a note or text or email something. My direct number is 678-488-2162. 678-488-2162. Or email me at johnwolf@me.com. That's Wolf with an E, johnwolf@me.com. Or our website is methodistoutreachinternational.com. Just do your best, but keep us in your prayers. And I pray the Lord just pours out a blessing all over you today. In the name of Christ, amen.
And meanwhile, let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.